Ours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.
This morning's Ours to Protect is going to create a buzz. So if you are interested in bees, we have around 100 species in this country. And for beginners, you can start with just one or two hives in your back garden. And then do your bit by mowing the grass less often, avoid spraying herbicides and insecticides in your garden, and maybe plant pollinator-friendly flowers. But John Donoghue from the Irish Federation of Beekeepers is the real expert on this subject. He's been speaking with Emily Carroll from St Mary's School in Edenderry, as well as Midlands 103's Sinead Hubble, about how difficult it is to keep bees.
Beekeeping is a craft. It's an apprenticeship you have to do. Do it on your own, of course, maybe with a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance. But you can't just drop into beekeeping and become a beekeeper. You have to grow into it. It takes a few years to do that.
So exactly how, if you do decide that you want to have a hive in your back garden, what do you do?
Yeah, well, then you probably have to choose the back garden, because you don't want it that too near the... too near the neighbours that you're going to be a nuisance. So you definitely don't want to be a nuisance to anybody. So give the bees a bad name.
But a rural garden.
Yeah, a rural garden. And if you're in a town, you probably get a sight from some of your relations somewhere, or down the country a few generations ago. So there's somebody you know down there that has a corner of a field or a little area that you can put a couple of hives of bees. A unit of bees would probably be maybe three hives. And ideally you want to start with a beekeeping course, a beginner's course, and ideally with a local beekeepers association, because there are courses being run by just maybe an individual or a couple of individuals, and beekeepers then don't have any follow-up. But you have the beekeeping associations, and you'll get lectures on all aspects of beekeeping through the year. So you have beekeepers from beginners up to very senior and established beekeepers. So you get all the perspective of, and everybody has an opinion, and you get everybody's opinion, you distill your own out of that, you know. So.
And how do you start a hive?
A hive of bees, well, see, bees are a wild creature. And honeybees, there's no such thing as a domesticated honeybee, because they're beekeeping, the instincts of the honeybee are going back about 20 million years. So maybe more than that, because we start talking about millions of 20 or 25 doesn't make much difference. But it's often reckoned that the honeybee has 20 million years of a head start on us as regards evolution. So all their instincts are based that far back, and we cannot change them. We can't make the bee do anything. Whereas you have domestic pets or something, or cattle or something, you put them into a field and you control where to go, but you can't control the honeybee, because they are wild, and essentially wild. And we beekeepers put them into a hive, and if the honeybees don't like that, they just go away. They don't stay in it, but they stay in it for their own convenience, because it's a nice place to be, and it's up to us to provide them with the best conditions possible, because it's in our interest. And you begin beekeeping then by getting what usually in traditionally it was often a swarm of bees that would be hanging on a bush somewhere, and from the wild, and that is happening again now. But back maybe 10 years, 15 years ago, they became very scarce because of the varroa mite. But now the bees are overcoming the varroa mite to a certain extent, which nature has taught them how to do over 20 million years, that they can overcome adversity. And but generally now beekeepers start with a nucleus of bees from an established beekeeper who has what the bee we advocate keeping is the native Irish honeybee, which is a bee that's acclimatised to our country, and they haven't got any of the genes of other European bees. But we like to try and keep our own bee pure as possible, and it's a nice docile bee. But if it becomes hybridised with other exotic bees, it gets a little bit more aggressive. But to have your bees then in an area or a garden or where that you're not going to be a nuisance to your neighbour, because you have to manage your bees. But nature has the bee just providing its own colony with enough food and with enough resources to reproduce itself the following year. But the beekeeper wants to do a little bit more than that. The beekeeper not necessarily reproduce itself, but to give the beekeeper some honey. So to direct their instincts into producing honey. You can't make them do something. All you can do is direct their instincts to do what you want them to do.
And is there much maintenance on a hive then? If you have bees?
Yeah, in the summertime there is, because you have to know what you have. You have a wild creature and you've got to know how to handle them. And to work on it, to do as I said, that you direct their instincts to produce honey. So if you want to produce some honey for yourself, you've got to work on the bees. Now, you don't leave the bee just to nature and let them do what they did in nature, because what they do there is to reproduce themselves as in a swarm. And that swarm then could go into your neighbour's roof. And then you're asked, what do you do about that, or how can you get them out? So you're not the Pied Piper, you can't whistle them out. And you more or less try to tell the neighbour you leave them there. And then you become the nuisance, because you're the beekeeper whose bees have gone into their neighbour's house. But you have to control that, and that involves maybe weekly inspections in the summertime, sort of from early May up until the end of July, where you have to have your finger on the pulse of the hive and know what's going on. After that then comes on to August, September, very little maintenance. All you need to do there is prepare your bees for the following year, because the following year starts the previous autumn, that you get your bees in condition to overwinter and that you will have young bees for the following spring. So from maybe March or from March onwards then the population of bees increases, but you have to watch how that increases, provide your bees with enough room in their hive, and give them, if they're overcrowded, it'll trigger swarming as well. So you give your bees enough room, and sort of from April onwards then you very likely have weekly inspections. But from August to March, very little. The bees were well able to look after themselves. If they have enough food coming into the winter, that's all they need. They're able to look after themselves there.
And is it expensive to get into beekeeping?
Well, that depends on how much new equipment you want to buy.
It is like anything really.
If you want to buy new tractors, that's fair enough, but you want to buy a second-hand one. But we don't recommend buying second-hand beekeeping equipment, because there can be residual diseases there. And we like people to start relatively small and gradually build up. The first thing you would have, you'd obviously want to have a hive, your bee suit, your smoker and all that. So you'd probably have to be prepared initially to put out maybe 500 or 600 euro just to get started. And you'd buy your bees for maybe 150 or 200, a nucleus of bees we call it. And that's usually available from maybe middle of June onwards. Well, that wouldn't necessarily be a colony of bees for that year, but if it's well looked after, it'll be a bumper hive the following year. So you gradually grow into handling your bees and you get used to working your bees. Rather than getting a full hive of bees first, it's like somebody getting a thoroughbred horse instead of a pony. You know that you have to grow into it and to become experienced handling bees. But the local beekeepers association is the way to go from wherever you are, your local beekeepers association. And they generally run courses in the early springtime, in February, March, and then running into April, where you can go out and work live bees. Yeah. And it's not suited for everybody. It doesn't really suit everybody. You have to have a little bit of an affinity with bees and the ability to kind of change and cope with adversity as well, because things are not always going to go your way.
Yeah.
And you're not always going to be in total control, because as I said, the bees are a wild creature and they do what they want to do. But what we as beekeepers do is direct their instincts to get them to do what we want them to do.
And then you have honey for life.
You have honey for, yeah. Every year differs. Some years you have bumper years and some years you have very poor, like the year just gone by has been a poor year. 2 years before that, last year was sort of average. 2 years before that were very good. And that's the way it runs. You have years of plenty and years of famine. Mm. And it always runs in cycles. I'm beekeeping for 50 years. And I've always had two or three years, good years, and then you have two or three bad ones. And you have to try and get the good ones to pad out the bad ones. And it averages out that you have, like with two or three hives of bees, which would be a unit, because if anything goes wrong with one hive, it becomes queenless or swarms or whatever, you had your finger on the pulse, you can recover the situation with brood and bees or from the other one, and you still have your tree. But if you only have one and something goes wrong with it, you're lost, because you can't recover it. But that's you know, it's to have your own honey, and then honey, of course, differs every year. You want to taste honey from different beekeepers, it can be different. Honey that comes in different times of the year is different. So it depends what the bee is forage on. And bees don't like, so some people ask beekeeper, oh, do you feed your bees sugar? Well, we don't, because honey is not sugar. Honey is nectar that the bees have processed, and the bees have added digestive enzymes to the nectar to bring back. And when, by the time they have it stored in the cell, it's dehydrated from maybe 60% moisture down to 16%. So honey, like, is a super saturated solution, and it lives indefinitely if it's kept away from the air or in the beehive. The bees will have it stored in perfect condition, and when the beekeeper gets it, it's in perfect condition. So it's up to the beekeeper to keep it in perfect condition. That is really just keeping the air out of it and keeping it sealed. If you have a jar of honey, always keep the lid on it, because honey being 16% moisture, it tries to pick up moisture from the atmosphere and to reach equilibrium. So keep honey sealed, it lasts forever.
Offaly student Emily Carl sampled some of the different types of honey to see if she could taste the difference.
This would be your springtime honey. And this would be honey from the dandelion onwards. The dandelion is probably the first source of source of nectar that the bees get. And so from dandelion onto sycamore, horse chestnut, hawthorn, all of the trees are in flower. Every tree that flowers in the springtime, it has some benefit to bees. And the main ones we have, of course, are the dandelion, the horse chestnut, the sycamore, the hawthorn, and even the blackthorn in early April, they'll get honey from it. That's a summer honey. It's from the summer blossoms, from the clover, white clover predominantly, and blackberry. So they're our main summer honey that we get in July. There's been a period in June that you don't often refer to as the June gap, when the trees are finished and before the blackberry and dandelion come into flower. And then when the dandelion blackberry and clover are finished. The clover finishes around the 20th of July, regardless of the weather, regardless of how much of it is there. It'll finish around the 20th of July, and regardless of how much clover there, the nectar is finished.
Taste that one and tell us what you think. Is there a difference?
Yeah, there actually is.
And you're so surprised, really.
Yeah.
We specialise in all this.
No, it looks the same. It tastes different.
Yeah. Ours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.
And for more on climate change, listen in to Midlands 103 in 2 weeks' time, the 26th of June, 20 past 11. And you can find out more details, indeed, on Midlands103.com.